Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Bruce. I'm your host. Today, we're talking to Nick. Nick has several food trucks, that is, and several brick-and-mortar locations. But he started with a food truck, and he progressed from there. And we talk about the differences between the two, how to go from a food truck to brick-and-mortar. Is that a good idea? And how he keeps it all organized and in sync and on brand. We talk all about that on this podcast episode. Great episode with Nick. Shared a ton of information about how much he does in sales, how much it costs to start a food truck if he was going to start over today, what he would look for, what he did right and what he did wrong, and all of that good stuff, again, on the podcast. So check it out. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. And before we do get into the podcast, I do have to say thanks to a couple people who make this show possible, one being Boostly. We are doing a marketing podcast next week all about text messaging marketing. And I think it's going to be a super valuable tactical podcast episode. Go to boostly.com, get started today. You can raise your revenue by $1,000 to $2,000 to $3,000 this month. And it only costs you if you send out text messages. No monthly contract, no fee. Sign up for a free 15-minute demo. They can extract all of your customers and show you how you can start sending text messages right now. Boostly.com. Let them know you heard about them on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. And also, Restaurant Systems Pro. Software plus system. Restaurant owners, you can now run your independent restaurant like a franchise or a chain without having to pay that 7% monthly royalty. You can cut your food cost, you can simplify your schedule, and you can get a weekly snapshot of your restaurant's profitability, all with their software and their help. Head over to restaurantsystemspro.net. Let them know you heard about them on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. They also have these sessions that you can join. They'll show you exactly what it's like to get started and how you can save money. I talked to them and they said, you know what? We can really start saving money for people as soon as they sign up. So go over to restaurantsystemspro.net, sign up for a free demo, and they'll show you how you can start saving money right now. Run your restaurant or your pizzeria like a franchise without having to pay for all of that that goes along with owning a franchise. All right, let's get into the before I get into the podcast, don't forget to sign up for the magazine, smartpizzamarketing.com. You can check out the link there. It says SPM Magazine. We're working on it behind the scenes as we speak. We already have like 6 or 7 articles written. We have some interviews with past guests of the podcast. It's going to be a great issue. Digital, limited, print run. Go over to smartpizzamarketing.com. There's a button there that says SPM Magazine. Get on the list. Please, a magazine for pizza people, by pizza people. The content first. Yes, there will be some ads in there, but it's just to pay for the cost of the magazine. The content is always going to be the thing that we work on the most. And we want it to be really valuable for you. And even the ads. We're trying to come up with creative ways to make the ads more content-driven, but also help us pay for the production of the magazine. We're gonna do something new in this industry, and I'm really excited about the people we have on board, the people we have contributing as article writers, and people we've interviewed for the magazine itself. I'm super pumped to have this come out. I'm super excited to have you share it in a couple of months. So SPM Magazine, smartpizzamarketing.com. Click the button that says SPM Magazine. Get on the list. I appreciate you. Let's get into the podcast now. All right, Nick, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Bruce.
I appreciate it. So tell everybody who's listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube or wherever they're watching to the podcast. Tell us where you're from and what you're up to.
Yeah, so I'm the owner of Toss and Fire Wood Fired Pizza. We're based in central New York, Syracuse area. We currently operate 2 brick and mortar locations and 3 food trucks. And we're in the process of opening a satellite location inside of a beer hall in the actual city of Syracuse right now.
That's amazing. So did you start with the food truck?
Yeah, so I actually started with a pull behind trailer. It was literally just a trailer with an oven, not like one of those Forno Bravos, but like very similar, like it looked very similar. It was from a company in Texas, Breadstone Ovens.
Okay, yeah. When was that? When did you first start?
That was 2015. We started with the pull behind trailer. So basically we had a pull behind trailer with like a tent and like a refrigerator I used to have to lift down from a pickup truck every time we did an event. And we would set everything up from start to finish. It was crazy.
That's awesome. So you started with that, then you went to a food truck was the next step, and then brick and mortar?
Yeah, so the second year we were in business, I ended up buying a like a box trailer that had an oven in it from a friend of mine that I grew up. We worked in a pizza shop together when I lived in Connecticut, which is where I'm from originally. So they were selling this trailer, and it was a really good opportunity, and I ended up getting it from them and trying to figure out how to operate too, and going through those kind of bumps along the way was definitely an interesting experience.
That's crazy. So what was the food? So you started with the trailer, which is kind of obvious, like for anybody listening can kind of set that up. The food, the truck version of it, what kind of truck was it? Was it like designed for pizza, or what kind of truck was it that you purchased to kind of create your pizza truck?
Yeah. So the first truck we bought, all of our food trucks are from MasterChef Kitchens, which is based in like Brooklyn area.
Okay.
They're all box trucks, like those standard, like our newer ones are the Morgan Olson ones. So they're like built for food trucks more than just like a regular old UPS truck or something like that. But when we bought the first one, we designed it. We were doing all these different events, obviously, right? Like catering is one aspect of our business. But another pretty big aspect of our business is like concerts. We do like these big concerts, and we partner with Aramark, who handles like the venue in our area. And we needed more space and a bigger oven. So that was kind of how we got into the first truck. And then from there, we just kept like, we're like, I needed a bigger truck to kind of handle more volume. And
wow.
So we built our second one. And then the third one I ended up buying from a friend who I had met kind of in the pizza community, and he was moving, and it was built at the same place that I had gotten my first two. And it was just like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get rid of my trailers and buy this one. It just made sense.
So that friend you bought that from, how did you meet him? Like on Instagram or online or in person somewhere?
There's like these Facebook groups that are for like mobile wood fire operators. Yeah. And when I was starting, I was in, like, I'm still in the groups, but like I was getting a lot of information from these. I wanted to talk to people who did it. I wanted to know like what worked for you, what didn't work for you, what are your challenges, what are like, you know, how do you handle this crazy business, you know?
Yeah, that's smart, because I just talked to, I just did a YouTube video, Anthony Allen from Auto Pizza, about dough commissary. Mm-hmm. And he said the same thing.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, that was a good, it was really interesting to be walking around the dough commissary. And something he said to me really stuck out. He's like, I'm like, would you do it all over again if you could know what you know now? He's like, yes, but I would do it differently. And he said exactly what you said. He's like, I would go out and try to find people who have actually built what I'm thinking of building, and then like pick their brain about all the questions I have and like what they did wrong and the mistakes they made, so I wouldn't have to make those like he did with that, because he said absolutely, he made a lot of mistakes with that. So it sounds like you did the same thing.
I did. I definitely did. You know, I talked to food truck operators who weren't doing pizza in general, and like just to get like, because every like area is different. Like the Syracuse market is completely different than the Austin, Texas market. Like it's, everybody is different. Everybody does things different. As much as there are similarities to being a food truck operator, there are so many differences that are specific to your market.
How much does it cost to, like, if I wanted to start a food truck and I had a budget, mm-hmm. but I wanted it to be like specifically made for pizza, how much money do you think I need to put aside to like buy a truck and like build it out?
So trailers are a cheaper option. That's why I got into the business with trailers, because it was something I could do. I started my whole business, probably the way you're not supposed to, but I started my whole business on like a credit card, and it was like, put my whole trailer on this credit card. And it was like, let's just see what happens. And but the food trucks, you know, I think my first truck was a little bit over 100,000. And then my bigger truck, which this thing's a monstrosity. It's like a 20 something foot kitchen with four coolers, and I have all Pavese ovens. And you know, it's a huge truck. That was closer to like 150.
Okay. So it's like, but it's still cheaper than, you know, building out. I mean, it's probably similar to building out a restaurant, right? Like 150,000, you could probably build out a small pizzeria in a small footprint if you had to in a brick and mortar.
Yeah. I don't know if you. Yeah, I mean, it really depends what you're doing. Depends what you're doing. So, like, if you're building from the bottom up, you know, you could spend $500,000 to $1 million. But like, I've never done that. I've always gone into places that were restaurants previously. Yeah. And then just kind of made them our own. That's always been the way I've gotten into anything. Any of our like expansions, it's always been like, okay, well, here's a location. One location, our first one, was operating as a pizzeria, a very small takeout pizzeria. And we were able to get all the equipment as part of our lease. So all I had to do was put in a wood fire oven and paint, you know.
Oh, that's not bad.
So it was that was an easy way to get into it.
Did it have a good layout? Sometimes you go into a pizzeria and as an operator who operates, you look at it, you're like, what the hell were these people thinking? This is not even close to how I would lay it out.
Not really, no. I mean, it was a mess. I used to drive by it. I used to drive by it because there was like a one of these like big stores where you could buy commercial food, right? And I would drive by it to go to the store, and they'd be open on Friday night, and then they'd be closed the next Friday night or at Tuesday lunch or whatever day it was. And I was like, what are these guys doing? Like, and I had a real estate person that I met, and he was like, oh, I know the landlord. Let me find out. And he was like, these guys haven't been paying rent. Like, if you're interested, come check it out.
That's great.
Kind of how we got into it.
Yeah, I go into pizzerias sometimes, and like, sometimes, you know, there's amazing pizzerias I've been in that are like, wow, I've really learned a lot just by watching them. And then sometimes I go into a pizzeria and I'm like, wow, this hurts my feelings. Like, as a pizza guy, like in a pizza operator, this hurts my feelings. Can I just time out for a second? Can I just show you like three things that's going to help your life a lot easier? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Can I have 5 minutes of your time? Because you really should do it this way. Yeah.
I'm going to help you out a lot. Just listen to these three things. Because you go in there and it's like, it's a mess. And it's just like, it's probably somebody who never owned or worked in or operated a pizzeria. And they just kind of like, all right, I want to buy a pizzeria. This is what I think it should be. And they just kind of go for it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's common in the restaurant business in general that you know, I mean, I came from a background in restaurants, but like I had never operated a restaurant. Like I was a manager for like a chain before I got into this business, but like, and I worked in them, but like, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I just talked to people. That was the easiest way I could get information was just talking to as many people as possible who were willing to talk to me.
So it's like a lot different from managing a pizzeria than it is owning one, right? But the difference is like the back end stuff, the finances, the accounting, the, you know, everything that you comes in and is on the shelf, you've paid for, and you know, there's money that's going out, that's coming out of your pocket. Yeah. So that's probably what you needed to learn, right? Because managing a pizzeria is the same whether you own it or op or just work in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's just the seeing the whole picture, you know, it's seeing everything, you know, everything is important. It's not just about how your shift is or whatever. It's about, you know, the entire customer experience. How are they hearing about you? How are they seeing you? Where are they seeing you? How is your social media? How is your website? How is your, you know, all of these things. And that was all stuff I had to learn. Like I had no idea.
It's a whole different ballgame, right? Like there's so many things that every manager of a pizza shop or restaurant is like, I could own this place. But you don't really know what it's like to own the place until it's actually your signature on the line that says you're responsible for everything that goes on. And if it's not busy, most people who work there are just like, okay, great, it's not busy. I don't have to do much. But when you're the owner, you're like sweating because you need every sale that comes in every day in order to be able to make it.
You know the bills that are coming in. You know the loan that you took out that has that's attached to your house one way or another, or you know, whatever it may be. It's all, you know, obviously it all matters to the owner more than it matters to anybody else, for sure.
So you're in a unique situation because you operate, like most people go from food truck and they're like, all right, I go from a food truck to a brick and mortar, but you're still kind of operating both. So you have a unique perspective when it comes to like the differences.
Yeah, I mean, I love the mobile business. I, you know, if we're in a market that's seasonal, so it's like it snows here and it's like there's probably 80 food trucks in the Central New York market. But when I started, there was 5.
Wow.
But it's blown up a lot over the this will be our 10th season starting this year. But I love the mobile business. I love to me, being able to go to a wedding one day, to a concert the next day, to a graduation, to a farmer's market, to a brewery, like all these different things. You're always seeing different areas. You're traveling, you're meeting people, you're interacting with people. It's just fun. I just like it.
Is it better than the brick and mortar? Like, which one would you prefer?
If I could just run food trucks and like we could do it all year at the level we do it during our season, I would do food trucks all day.
Yeah, so the only holdback for you is the winter, right? Because it's not as busy. Yeah.
Yep.
So if you were in like
the winter is too cold
or the south somewhere, you'd be doing food trucks all year round.
Yeah, I mean, it could work, you know, but again, that kind of goes back to like every market is so different. I've talked to operators in other areas and I tell them the kind of things that I do. And they're like, we don't have that here. We don't have, like, we do big food truck rodeos here. That's a really big thing in Syracuse. Yeah. And like, there's markets that like the food trucks don't even talk to each other. They don't want to be friends. They don't want to like, you know, they don't work together in that way. And then there's markets that do, and they have these awesome, huge events that work out, you know?
Do you think it's the winter thing is like to your advantage? Cause you know, I'm from Boston, so similar weather to what you're in, and the markets are the same. Like, you, when you live in the Northeast, everything you do outside is condensed into like 5 months.
Yeah.
Because yeah, you can go outside in November and October and December, but like nobody really wants to go out in those months like they do in the summertime, you know? So is it because everything's condensed in that small time frame that people just are out more and it's busier and they collaborate more?
I think there's a lot of excitement when food truck season starts. Like it's, you know, it's kind of like there's like an unofficial end usually every year. It's usually the end of October, and then the unofficial start is usually sometime in April.
Yeah.
And there's like this built up excitement. People are excited to get outside and go to these events, and like some of the events are in parks. We do a big there's a big food truck festival here called the Food Truck Battle, and that's like this massive thing that sees like 20,000 people come to it. It's a 1 day thing. And
wow.
Like, it's really cool, and there's like 50 something food trucks at it, and they all do like samples, and you know, it draws people from all over New York State that come for it. I heard some people came from Canada to come to it.
That's crazy.
This past year. Yeah,
that's awesome. So it's just like a big parking lot with a bunch of food trucks, and people just want, like, it's almost like a food truck carnival.
Yeah, we do it at the state fair here, so it's like actually like it's a venue that has, you know, bathrooms and grass area, and like it's a place people know and they go to events at in the area. So but a lot of our other events that we do are like, it'll be in a dead mall parking lot and people are like, let's go to the dead mall and go to the food trucks, and it's cool.
That's great. How much can you make running a food truck? Like, say you started from the beginning time, like in your, not your trailer, but like the food truck, the first food truck you did, like how much could you make a year running and operating if you just did that?
I mean, I think that in like a 6 month kind of seasonal thing, that it varies from like, I remember our first year, I think we did like 90,000 in sales, and we've gotten it up to like one truck could probably do a $250,000 plus. It really depends on the amount of months that you're doing it, like, and how often you're out and how many events you're doing a day and all that kind of stuff.
So as your reputation grew, you probably were booked more than in the beginning time. You're trying to just hustle and find anything you can do, right?
Yeah, I mean, so when it was the beginning, I said yes to everything.
Yeah.
I did anything and everything you could imagine. I was like, let's go, you know, you want me to come to the farmer's market? You want me to come to this movie release party for 20 people? You know, we would do things that were probably not worth, obviously not worth it. But, you know, it was all about getting our name out there, getting people to try the food. They never had it. You know, we need to get our product in front of people, get them to taste it, and hopefully they like it.
And that's what every business kind of does in the beginning, right? Like, you got to say yes to a lot of things in the beginning that you wouldn't say yes to later. Or maybe you'd be like, maybe not, because it's just not, it doesn't align with what you want.
Yep. Yeah, we've cut that back as years have gone on. I'm like, okay, this event made sense when we were new. It doesn't make sense in year 10. It just doesn't, you know. The cost of everything has obviously gone up. Labor's more expensive, food cost is more expensive, gas is more expensive. All these things that we have to do to operate, it has to make sense for those wheels to drive to an event.
Like, yeah. Plus you probably learn, right? Like you did in the beginning, you say yes, you do the event, and you're like, wow, that sucked. I'm never doing that again. Like there wasn't enough people, I didn't make enough money, or it didn't go as according to plan, or it was too much work. So like when you don't know anything, you gotta do things in order to kind of figure out what works for your business and what doesn't. And the only way you really do that is by either doing it or knowing somebody who did it.
Yeah. I mean, who's your market? You know, who is your ideal customer? A lot of, in the beginning for us, it was a lot of breweries. That was a big, it's kind of starting to go down a bit in the area. But like when we were starting, there was this like explosion of breweries in New York State. And those were the places where we would go and make the most money, because there were people were hanging out, they were eating, they were drinking, they were, you know, they would, it just worked. It made sense for a food truck.
I hear a lot of people say breweries for like how they get business for food truck. And I don't know if it's just like, I don't go to breweries, so I'm not aware of it, or it's not in my area, but I don't see a ton of breweries like in my area, in the Northeast Boston area. with food trucks out there. But people say that all the time. Maybe it's just like a New England thing. They're just not as prominent here.
Yeah, I think it's just some markets have them and some don't, and some of them don't do food. I know certain states like you can't have food trucks at your brewery. I want to say like New Jersey might have passed something recently where like you can't. Don't quote me. I'm not 100%. I swear I saw something like that though, where like food trucks couldn't set up at breweries, and that's just crazy. But you know, people make up crazy laws.
I know. It's probably somebody is probably in the background, you know. I don't want to say bribing, but you know, bribing those politicians that it would hurt their business if they had food trucks there or something. There's got to be a reason for that. Because why would that be a problem if there was no other reason for it?
Yeah, I never get that. The people who, you know, think that stopping somebody from doing something is going to help them be better at running a business. You know.
Yeah. The reason I talk a lot about food trucks is, my kids are 21, 20 now, and they're interested in doing some sort of food truck, not pizza, but like some sort of food truck to kind of start a business. And I'm always curious to see how people started to kind of give them a little bit of an edge, you know, if they can pull something off. And it's hard as a kid to find what you want to do.
Yeah, for sure. You know? It's a hard business to get into because what ends up happening is like we've been around for, like I said, this is our 10th season, right? So, you know, there's people we've been working with since season one. Those people are going to work with us because they've been working with us, right? Yeah. So sometimes it's hard to find things. And, you know, so building it can take a little while, right? I think we've been fortunate to kind of be in the right place at the right time and, like, you know, get into certain events that were in their conception. And now we get to do them all the time. And it's, you know, that worked out in our favor.
But doing a good job too, right? Like you got to do a good job. Otherwise they won't have you come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh. You got to have a good product. You have to have good branding and look and all of that stuff. And, you know, a few years ago we rebranded from like the logo I created on the internet for cheap back in 2014, and had like a company come in and redo our stuff. And we made our trucks match it. And we made our restaurants match it. And now it's all like a cohesive thing.
So if someone sees your truck and someone sees your restaurant, they know it's combined. It's the same place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I mean, but you got to start somewhere, right? Like probably a lot of people start on Canva, right? Like just go there and create a logo because you don't have money. You're trying to bootstrap it.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
And that's great. I looked at your Instagram, and I think we've talked a lot on Instagram, like kind of messages behind the scenes. And you guys do a great job with photos and branding on there. You can kind of tell that everything's really cohesive. Who does your Instagram? Do you do that, or who does it?
So I do it myself, but I have a photographer that I use, and then I have like a videographer that I use for some stuff and like some TikTok content and video content and reels and stuff. And, you know, I try to use, like, I'm generally never putting photos that I've taken for the most part. I mean, sometimes I do, but usually they're professional photos.
Yeah.
You know, because my photographer, I think, is one of the best in the area, and he just does a really nice job.
What, do they come in once like a month or something like that and just do a whole bunch?
Yeah, generally once a month, and then I'll pick, you know, maybe 10 to 12 items that I'm looking to do photos of. Sometimes we'll invite friends or family to come and like be in the photos and kind of stage some stuff. And then like if there's a special I want to focus on or something like that, I'll make that one of the items that we're doing content for.
Is Instagram a place where people find you and like they hire you from that, or do you think it's just more like a branding thing?
I mean, I think people definitely find us on Instagram. They follow us. They'll follow like our stories when we're that's where I'll post stuff that's like from my phone is in the stories. Like if I want to snap a picture of a pizza real quick or a video of a fire burning in the oven or something along those lines. Like, you know, so we definitely, you know, I'd like to grow it more. It's always something I'm trying to increase. But there's definitely customers who are following us and buying food based off a photo we post or, you know, whatever we're doing.
I was just looking at your Instagram. Here's what I want to give you a little tip here. Reels, sure. Do more reels because those will extend past your follower count. So right now reels is the only thing on Instagram that helps you get exposed to like people who don't follow you. Mm-hmm. And then try this. So we've been doing an experiment with carousel posts, which is like multiple images. And I see you have one here. We have like three or four images we've seen. Mm-hmm. So if say it reaches 10,000 people, so you have a reel. and a carousel post. And each one of those different posts reaches 10,000 people. The difference between the two is of the real, the 10,000 people will be 5,000 people who follow you and 5,000 people who do not. The carousel post will be 9,500 people who follow you and 500 mm-hmm. people who do not. So if you really want to engage with your current followers, do carousel posts. And if you want to find people who don't follow you, post reels and mix them up. We've been doing a huge mixture of those and seeing like a lot of reach, but it's different reach, which is super interesting. You'd think it'd be like, oh, 10,000 people, it'd be the same thing, but it's really not. It's really super interesting what's happening on Instagram the last couple months.
Yeah, I'll check out, try it out.
Yeah, try it out and then let me know how it works out and if it's for sure. you see the same kind of data that we've seen. Mm-hmm. Do you use anything else like Facebook? I know you said TikTok.
Yeah, we use Facebook. I mean, our Facebook, we've got a lot of followers, but Facebook has been this kind of dead thing for a while for us. It just doesn't, we don't get as much. It's like we randomly will get engagement on it. Like we post something and then that random photo just all of a sudden is the one that people start commenting on and sharing and stuff. But it's very inconsistent for like the reach. Like we've got 14 or 15,000 followers, I think.
And, wow.
You know, we'll get a 50 to 100 people to like stuff, and it's just not, we definitely aren't getting the regular reaction like we used to on it.
Yeah, Facebook is weird. We've seen like a, you know, so you have 15,000 followers? I'm looking at your page here. Yeah,
14,000 followers. 14 or 15, yeah.
And was that, because you started 10 years ago, so you probably started on Facebook, right?
Yeah, we definitely started on Facebook. I mean, I think we had an Instagram, but like, it was more, everything was way more Facebook focused back then.
Yeah.
And ads on Facebook have always worked for us. They still work for us. We don't do them as much, but they definitely, like, people who are taking their family out for pizza are still on Facebook and they're still seeing these ads and reacting to them.
Yeah. I think Facebook is still an okay place. Like you said, 10 years ago, though, was like the heyday of Facebook and the ads. Like you could probably reach thousands of people for $20. Mm-hmm. In like in your target market, whereas now it's not as cheap or as targeted because they took a lot of that targeting away because they had that huge data breach and that lawsuit. So the things that you used to be able to target 10 years ago, you just can't anymore on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But you got, like you said, you got to like use them all. I think that your audience on Instagram is a little different than your audience on Facebook. And then your audience on TikTok is obviously way different. You can see the difference. Like do a poll on Instagram, on Facebook, and do a poll where you can tell the difference of the age with the results. So I did a poll on Instagram and a poll on Facebook, the same one. And you can tell by the answers that the demographic on Facebook was much older than the demographic on Instagram, just by what they answered in that poll, which was interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
That's cool. It's just the answers they have. You're like, all right, now I know why I got to maybe use Facebook a little differently because people are a little older on there than they are on Instagram.
Yeah, I feel like it just gets younger. Like you go, like Facebook is the oldest and then Instagram's a little bit younger, but still like it's kind of that middle part. And then TikTok is all the younger people now, which like we're relatively new on TikTok. I think we have like 800 followers and like, but what I'll do is like, I'll post some funnier things on TikTok that I wouldn't necessarily, like I wouldn't post it on Facebook because it wouldn't get the kind of reactions that it gets on TikTok or something. Like we threw a pizza in one of my manager's faces during the fair this year. And that's been like our best viewed TikTok. It was like 12,000 people or something viewed it.
So, yeah, that's exactly what you need to do. That's perfect. Because like on TikTok, they get it. On Facebook, they'd be like, why are you throwing pizza at people?
Yeah. Why are you wasting food? What are you doing?
Like, exactly. Yeah. So you got to know your audience too. That's smart. You got to know your audience and where you're posting it. And it doesn't always work everywhere.
For sure.
That's interesting. What do you do for like email or text or do you do any of that too?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're Square users. I've used Square since I started because that was the best thing to use for mobile back 10 years ago. So we've got a pretty massive, like I think it's 32,000 email database through Square. And then I have like 4,000 or 5,000 phone numbers for text messaging. So I use like a combination of those two. And like if we're having like a slow week or something, I can send out an email and know that I'm going to instantly just increase my business that week, like because it's going to reach enough people that it's going to make a difference.
Yeah, that's great. That's a lot of people.
That's been great for us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. But you probably get them from like this because Square, is that the one that does like it'll email you the receipt? Is that how you get most of the people? Yeah.
Yep. So, and sometimes people's credit cards, like the emails are attached to them automatically. Like we don't even ask them, and Square will pull it. It'll send them a thing, and then they can opt out if they don't want to be part of it, kind of thing. But, you know, so Square collects that, or it asks them to join. Like we have a loyalty program through Square where every time you come, we call them slices. You get a slice, and you come so many times, you'll get $5 off, or you know, and it builds the more times you come.
Oh, that's great. That's a great thing to do. I think more places should do loyalty programs like that. I like going to places that do and offer that, especially places that you frequent a lot.
Absolutely.
That's a great bonus, and it's not costing you a lot. Like a slice of pizza or even a free pizza doesn't cost that much.
No, it's really for the regulars, right? The only people who are really benefiting from a loyalty program are the people who are coming enough to benefit from the loyalty program. So it makes sense, you know, to give back to them and you know, they're a big bulk of our email and text database too. So we're fine to send them a coupon to come in, and they're going to come in from this email blast.
Right. All right, I'm going to ask you a tough question now. What do you hate about the food truck business or pizza business?
Oof. I mean, I think there's challenges in every business, right? And, you know, staffing was a challenge for a while, but that's definitely gotten better over the last year or two.
Why did it get better? I've heard a lot of people say that. Why did it get better in your area? Just more people, like, needed to go back, or?
I think so, man. I really think that people needed to go back or wanted to come back or wanted to do this kind of work. And, you know, before the pandemic, we really like never had an issue getting staff. Like we would, a lot of times I would hire like, you know, I hire someone and then they've got some friends that they would vouch for, and then we would hire people that way. And it worked out really well for us for a long time. And you know, things definitely changed during the pandemic, but if I had to pick something like that I hate about the restaurant business, you know, I think with the food truck business, I hate the weather sometimes. Like,
that must be tough in the cold or rain. Yeah,
it could be brutal when it's like pouring outside and you're prepared for like a big event, and then all of a sudden we're getting some crazy storm and it's not there, and then I'm losing product. You know, it's not. There's inconsistencies with the food truck business, right? That's the biggest like challenge there, is that you may have the hottest day ever, and then you're selling less pizza because it's too hot. Then it's too cold, then it's raining, then it's this and that. I mean, those are like, I feel like that's one of our biggest challenges.
Wow, you know what?
On the mobile side of things.
I never thought of that, because I always operated brick and mortar, right? And like for us, bad weather meant good sales, but it's opposite for you, right? Like if it was a really nice sunny day out, for us that wasn't great because people would go out, they wouldn't eat as much, they'd be out doing things. But if it was like snowing or raining or a storm, people would sit home, hunker down, and we would just deliver to them. So it's like the total opposite for you.
Yeah. Well, that's the perfect day to be at the brewery or be at the beer hall or be at the, you know, these different places, the farmer's market, whatever it is, you know, those are the days that's your best day, because you're out, it's beautiful weather, or a concert during like a 75, 80 degree day is the best, with 20,000 people there for a concert. Like you can't beat it.
That must be stressful though, looking at the weather, because you don't live in you live in an area like me that the weather fluctuates so frequently that it must be stressful to be like, all right, I have a 100-person event happening next weekend and there's a storm coming. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm.
Yep. I constantly am looking at the weather. Every day, even during the off season, I'm still looking at it, because it's just muscle memory, but trying to plan out, like, because I have to, in order to project what I'm going to do during a week, like I've got to have an idea of what the weather is going to be, and then the weather's the opposite of what they tell you it's going to be, and all that good stuff.
They don't really know what it's going to be till like the day before.
The day of.
Yeah, the week before. Yeah. It's like, we could get this, but it's totally different. So what do you do in those scenarios? Like, say you have a 100-person event scheduled for Friday or Saturday, and you're hoping it's going to be nice, and it doesn't. Does it just get canceled?
No, so I mean, if it's catering, we pretty much operate regardless. The only time we wouldn't operate is if like it was like severe unsafe weather, which is really only happened like a handful of times over the years. You know, so for catering, it's still pretty much guaranteed, and we know what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
We may have to run food inside if the weather's really bad, and like if it's a wedding or something, and they have a lot of times we serve outside because it's, you want to get the experience of walking up to the truck and seeing the pizzas being made and seeing the fire in the oven and that kind of whole experience. But
So only if the wedding venue, like if you're doing a wedding, because they'll move inside. So it just all it does for you is you'd be like, all right, the ambiance is kind of gone. You're just kind of serving food now.
Yeah, and then, you know, for the public event stuff, we just have to adjust our projections. We have to adjust our dough. We have to adjust our staffing. We have to cut back on some of the food that we're prepping and kind of plan it that way.
Huh. So it's like a lot of things to think about when you're in a food truck because versus a brick and mortar is like just the same. Like, all right, I got to make a little bit more dough. It's going to be a little busier. Yeah. But when you're – because you're moving everything around, right?
Yep. Yeah, we're loading, you know, we have a process for everything we do. And like, you know, we're planning a week, we plan a week out and I'll say, this is how much dough I think we're going to go through. And this is what we have to prep. And then like, there's the fermentation process and all of that to make and prepare our dough. So like, if you really lose out on an event and like, you don't sell it, you know, usually we can sell it the next day for lunch, but that's about it. So like, there's been days where I've over-prepared a lot, but I've kind of gotten better through the years.
Trial and error, right?
Yeah, it's just figuring out what we need to do and what we need to prep for and staff for and all of that stuff. And like what I have data now to say, okay, this is what happens when there's a concert and it pours, right?
Yeah.
This is how much we're gonna go down and we're gonna prepare for that now.
What's the if you could say, all right, Bruce, this is my favorite thing in the food truck. Like, this is the favorite venue. It's the most profitable. It's the one I like to do the best. Like, what is it? Is it a wedding?
Yeah, I mean, catering is always, because it's guaranteed. You know what it is. There's no questions, right? You know there's going to be this many people. This is what they ordered. This is the pack. Like, we'll do different packages and stuff. And, like, this is the package they have. This is what they're doing. And then we can prepare for it, yeah. Right? You know, so that's definitely... You know, if we could cater every event every day, that'd be great. But I also, there's a balance to that. I think that it's important to be out in the community doing public events, being at these venues where people can just come and buy a pizza because that's how they find out about you. If they're not at somebody's wedding or graduation or whatever it is, that's an important aspect of this business.
That's great too, because if you're at a wedding, yeah, it may be profitable and easy, but those people who are at the wedding probably or may not even live in your area, right?
Yeah, it's very possible.
So like a concert that's happening in your town, those people that go to that concert are probably from that area.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's all tied together. Like everything helps each other. Like having a brick and mortar, you come into the brick and mortar, you think about the food trucks. Oh, we could have them for our graduation party. You go to a graduation party, you enjoy the food. Now you can come into the restaurant. Yeah, so it all just, it's like, I always call it a big circle.
Yeah. You know? You're driving down the street, you see the sign. You're like, oh, I'm gonna stop in there. I went to the party last week. They had great pizza. What's the next step for you? Are you going to do more food trucks, more brick and mortars, or both?
I think this is, this kind of this opportunity with this new location wasn't necessarily something we were looking to do. We've grown a lot for only being 10 years old, you know, or 9 years old going into our 10th season. So I think it's right now it's all about, it's getting this location open and then it's about, you know, streamlining our operations as much as we can and you know, figuring out what the next best system is or the best way to do things. And, you know, I try my best to always have an open mind and improve and figure out the best way to do things.
I love it. I mean, go follow you, Toss and Fire Pizza on Instagram, Toss the letter N Fire Pizza on Instagram. Your website, same thing, right? Tossandfirepizza.com. Yeah. Go check him out. Go follow him. Nick, thank you again. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a lot going on. So
absolutely.
For you to join me on the podcast and talk for a while and answer all my questions about the food truck business, it was much appreciated.
Absolutely. Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Is there anywhere else that you want to plug or anywhere else someone should go follow you or just on Instagram and your website?
No, just check out our Instagram, Facebook, TikTok if you want some funnier videos or Facebook, website, all that good stuff.
Oh, what's your TikTok? Same thing, Toss and Fire Pizza?
Same thing, Toss and Fire Pizza, yeah.
Oh, nice. All across the board, very easy. We'll link all that up in the show notes. Nick, thank you so much for joining me on the pod.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Nick, joining me on the podcast. Appreciate you. Head over to smartpizzamarketing.com if you want to see the links to his website, all his social media, and the show notes, and everything that we talked about on this episode. Over there, while you're there, you know, you can sign up for the magazine. I'm super pumped to have this come out. It's going to be amazing. So go sign up. Smart Pizza Marketing, SPM Magazine. If you want to contribute too, again, this is a magazine for you. We're always going to be about collaboration in bringing the pizza community together and giving those voices to people who haven't had a voice in the past. So if that sounds like you and you have something to say, as long as it's a good article and somebody can walk away after reading it and say, wow, I learned something in that article that I'm going to go use in my business right now. That's you. Head over to the website, sign up as a contributor. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Very much appreciate it. We'll see you back here next week.